Today's message is on purity of the body. It was a series that I did long time ago, it seems. And somebody asked me to repeat this one. Okay. I don't see the date. Anyway. And this series came out of a focus on one verse in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So then, if you want to see God, that means to see God. See God means to get to know him, to get to be with him in heaven, of course. And the verse tells us that you need to be pure in your heart. And you know what? I don't have enough willpower to purify my own heart. But if I'm willing, God can make my heart pure. And the purifying process is kind of like, refining an ore so that it's better. It's heated up and the dross is raked off or whatever. So it's kind of trying to say it's not exactly fun or easy, but it's a process. Sometimes God does a whole lot of changing someone's heart all at once. Like someone that, came to an altar of prayer and they, whatever their big issue was, it never really was an issue again. And other times, God lets us rely on him as we struggle with some things. So purity of the heart is a big topic. And some weeks ago, now it's some years ago, we spoke of sexual purity in the series. Sex outside of marriage has all kinds of consequences. And we talked about integrity, the purity of our integrity in our actions, followed by purity of mind or heart purity, dealing with thoughts, desires in our heart. Today we're going to focus on purity, on how we treat our bodies, because someday we're going to be asked, hey, what did you do with the gifts and the abilities that I gave you? The body that I gave you would be part of that. One of God's gifts to us is our bodies. And when we ask for God's salvation, when we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, that means he's Lord of our life and he's Lord of our bodies. So we become stewards of our lives instead of owners of our lives and bodies. And someday we will have to answer for how we treated his living temple, that is our body, along with many other things we did and choices we made. So we're going to have a lot of scriptures today. The first is in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So, we are called to treat our bodies well. Paul once wrote in Ephesians, after all, no one ever hated his body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. Now, Paul's making a generalization here. We know that, some people don't feed and care for their bodies. But generally, that's what people do. Imagine problems, bad habits, addictions, denial, all play a part in how we treat. Body image. Problems, bad habits, addictions, denial, all play a part in how we treat our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Today, We are going to look at some key areas related to dedicating our bodies to God. Rest, sleep, diet, mental health, desecration. Well, desecrating or defiling a temple. In New Testament days, desecrating a temple was a big deal. And I can prove that because what happened when some Jews saw Paul in the temple and they said, that terrible man brought non-Jews in here, brought Greeks in here. Well, there was a huge riot and yelling all kinds of accusations at Paul, and men came running and, you know, they drug him out of the temple area and they were trying to kill him. That's in Acts chapter 21. So if our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, how disappointing it must be to Jesus when we defile the Holy Spirit's temple, one that Jesus bought with a heavy price. So rest, Sabbath rest. By rest, I am thinking of the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, I'm not speaking against people who work on Sundays, though if you can avoid it, I think it's a good thing. I'm not legalistic about the Sabbath day because Jesus wasn't. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But the principle of Sabbath rest is important. And it was made for us. It was made for man. We all need Sabbath rest in our week. When you or I work 7 days a week, it gets pretty tiring. I think Pam worked 21 days straight once at the cannery. And that was, not the only one. If you work too much, you had better carve out time. Not a time, but times to be your Sabbath for your rest. What happens when you don't take breaks for an extended period? What happens if you just keep going on? Well, joyful work, for one thing, even ministry work, just becomes drudgery. Some of us have too much on our plates, and if we don't carve out some time off, we just might have to take time off due to sickness, injury, and burnout. Elijah lost his nerve. He felt sorry for himself and was showing signs of burnout when he said, you know, I have been zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your commandment, torn down your altars, put the prophets to death by the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. He was feeling sorry for himself and needed a rest. Jesus is the one who said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Exercise. Now, Paul wasn't very keen on exercise, but he saw it had some value. In 1 Timothy, he says, for training of the body is somewhat profitable. But godliness is profitable for everything because it holds promise for the present life. Your life just might be better if it's a godly life. And for the life to come. Jesus and Paul also said, but I discipline my body and subjugate it, lest somehow after preaching to others, I myself might become disqualified. Paul was speaking of self-control, but that would include self-control of our habits. So Romans, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Whoever wrote Hebrews said this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. He's not talking about running an actual race. He's talking about living out our walk. But being healthy, being physically fit, should give us more fruitful service. Amen? Sleep. How many of us do not get enough sleep? Sleep is an amazing thing. During sleep, our bodies take time to repair muscles and such things as muscles that we've damaged during the day, and lack of sleep, especially good, deep REM sleep, is very dangerous to our health, our mental outlook. But why shouldn't we sleep? It's because we try to do too much to control our future in a way, and not trust in God. Or is it our ego that likes feeling indispensable? I kind of like the feeling of being indispensable or a hero. And to feed our ego, we work to be a hero. Perhaps some of you like being a hero as well. It says in Psalms 127, "It is useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves?" Wow. God enjoys giving us rest. In fact, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Notice it says, "He makes me lie down." Has God ever made you lie down? Sometimes he must make some of us lie down. It seems better to take care of ourselves, though, than to have God make us lie down as adults. I can remember as a kid, I'd go to some, daycare or school or something, and the thing I hated most about it was the enforced quiet time. The lights would go out, everybody was on a mat, and they were watching in the dark like hawks, and you just had to try to get through that time. But they were wiser than us little kids. At times, there is nothing better than for some good hard work to help us sleep. As it says in Ecclesiastes 5, "The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep." So we need sleep. God grants sleep. He encourages or provides sleep. Most of us need more sleep than we get. But we can, of course, live at the other extreme. And the Bible has many verses like about being too lazy. "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." So diet. Does the Bible have anything to say about diet? Well, aside from the Jewish dietary laws and Daniel's choosing to eat only water and vegetables, says in Ephesians, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And Proverbs 23 also says, For the drunkard and the gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." It doesn't seem like the 23rd Psalm. Have to check that out sometime. Proverbs, that's why. Okay. Paul advised Timothy, "The Spirit clearly says in later times, some will abandon faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." Paul says that in 1 Corinthians, but food does not bring us closer to God, for neither if we eat do we have more, nor if we do not eat do we lack. Isaiah says about food, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest fare. Isaiah was using food to talk about a relationship with God, but we could also ask, hey, why buy junk food when good food is better for us? Usually, it takes a little more time to fix good food. Well, back to Romans, accept one another whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows him to eat everything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Romans 14 discusses eating, I might add drinking, things that will cause others to stumble. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. And we'll finish off our survey of scriptures about food with this one. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Amen? Mental health and emotional health. When I say mental or emotional health today, I'm mainly thinking of worry and fear. Some of us like to worry, at least it seems that way, because we've made such a habit of it. But what does God's word say? It says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? It also says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble. Those of us who worry too much should have learned years ago that the vast majority of our fears just never happen, never realized. And the Lord will help us through the ones that do materialize. Paul addressed the theme of worry when he said to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we give our cares, our concerns to God, he will give us peace. That's a pretty good deal, I think. But we have to really give it and not just loan it to him. Yeah? John 14, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Oh, believe also in me. You see, there is a choice involved in being fearful, in being fretful. Later in that chapter in John, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. When you have peace, the peace of God, you can even say with the psalmist, even though I walk through that valley, through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Are you still fearful and fretful? Or do you have God's peace? I have a lot of peace these days, but some things still bother me quite a bit, like buying and selling houses. I'll lose some sleep whenever we do that. Sexual health. We covered that previously, but God's rules are not to make us miserable, but to help us live the best lives we can. So kind of putting it all together, I want to tell you why I don't like this sermon. We've touched on many things today, and I'd like to say I score 100% on the good side, but to be honest, I don't treat my body as well as I should, as the temple of the Holy Spirit. I suspect many of you are more or less with me in needing to do better. So let's close in prayer. Father, we recognize that we often don't treat our body the way we should. Our lack of sleep, the things we eat, the risky things we choose to do. Help us to remember that it's your body now. Help us to surrender even that. Give us the willpower, the desire to do a better job of taking care of your temple. In Jesus' precious name, amen.